قال الله تعالى القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي البر والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما
Spiritual progression and the status and darajat of the batin, and for islah, for rectification, these three things are such that for every mu'min he has a desire, every believer has a desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the ability and capability that he can attain these three things. So, darajat of the batin, the status of the inner self, and spiritual enlightenment, and also islah of the individual, rectification, improvement. Alhamdulillah, for this, we work hard, make effort, and we try, and we do ibadat, we do worship actions, we do amal, multitudes of deeds, we do du'as, supplication, prayers, and according to our energy and capacity, every person tries. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He's the Malik, the Khaliq, the Qadir. And He has created us for these three things. And He said that this is the maqsad, the objective of the human being, are these three things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also prepared beautifully the resources to deliver these requirements for us. These three factors or elements that we require, that I mentioned to you, to obtain them, one amal, one practice Allah has given to us, such that there's probably no other deed which is equivalent to that. In other words, this amal, this action is such a big amal, such a great deed, that in comparison to this amal, there's no other deed, no other action. To attain these three factors that are necessity of life, that via this amal, via this action, we can get spiritual enlightenment, and batini darajat, internal, inner self, our darajat increase, and also the islah is fulfilled of that person, rectification. What is that amal that delivers these three things? What action delivers these three things? That amal, that practice is to stay awake during the night. The ibadat during the night. The salah during the night. This is such an amal that regards to this deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has praised this action. Rather, in Surah Muzammil that was revealed, was to praise this action of waking up in the night. There's the salah during the night, which is also called Qiyamul Layl or Tahajjud, and the salah of the night. The night prayer also, we give that definition. Now in the day we work so much hard. Yes, we make effort, nawafil, voluntary actions. Alhamdulillah, according to our strength and energy, every man tries. But the path that Allah Ta'ala has formulated for us, why are we far from that? Tell me, that the path that Allah Ta'ala has formulated for us, in which 100% a human being can attain these three necessary elements of life, and that is the salah during the night, which is called tahajjud. It's such a great salah, such a great prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, when we talk about salah, then there's so much barakah. That time that Allah ta'ala has ordained this salah, there's so much barakah, so much effect, so much mercy, and so much special tawajjuh, attention and focus of Allah, that there's no other time in the day that you can equate to that amount. Look at that, subhanAllah. There's a person who's thirsty, there's a person who's desire, and he realizes, then will he leave this action? Tell me. So this is our situation though, that forget about normal people, us folk who do dhikr, adhkar, who work hard, who strive, we say we are the people of Allah, the Sufis, and we take shortcuts and make excuses from the salah and the night. Oh, I have to wake up, my work is hard, I have to wake up in the morning and go. But Allah Ta'ala, if He's instructed something and He's instilled those benefits, then it can never be difficult to do the action. It can't be. It cannot be hard. Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahmatullah, somebody asked him, the Hazrat, that I try a lot, that I should pray tahajjud in the moon, in the night, but I can't. And this is the issue we have, isn't it? It's the masala. These are all excuses. Oh, it's hard work for me. I have to work in the morning. I have to do this and that. Allah Ta'ala, He never gives pain or difficulty to the human being. Allah knows that what we need to do to earn rizq, what profession we're going to adopt in the world, and a person adopts that profession. But, when Allah Ta'ala has given times for different actions and ibadat and the rewards and the virtues, then definitely the human being can implement those actions. It is impossible. It's impossible that it cannot be that Allah has given us a physical ibadah. It has so many benefits, spiritual enlightenment, batini darajat and islah, rectification. And such a great result and benefit. Will Allah Ta'ala make that action hard for us to do? Will it be difficult for us to do? What's the reason then? What's the reason? The reason for this is this. The Hassan Basri, what a great sheikh and wali of Allah he was. And somebody said to him that I want to pray salah and I really had desire. I'm giving you an example of one wali Allah, and every wali Allah has the same style. Every wali Allah has the same style. So he said, what's the issue? He said that I want to pray salah and there's a lot of virtues in this night prayers. There's this and there's that. But I can't pray. I can't wake up. My eyes don't open. There's so much weakness. And it's too difficult, this and that, he said. So he replied, I'll tell you the reason for this. Why you can't do it. Look at this. What a great reason. He said that if you leave the sins in the day, then Allah will wake you up in the night. If you discard the sins during the day, the sins of the eyes, sins with the tongue, you are angry, you backbite, you gossipmonger, slander, you defraud people. If you leave these sins of the day, Allah guarantees that I will wake you up in the morning. So what we realize is that ibadat, worship actions, they are destroyed due to what? Due to the sins of the individual. That person who all day long does wrong actions, or he doesn't try to stay away from sins, then how will his eyes open? How will Allah give him a great rank and status? Tell me. How will Allah give that person a rank and status? He's immersed in punishment. He's immersed in punishment. Yes, then he said, what shall I do, Hazrat? And then he said, very simple formula, that at least do this, he said, that before you go to sleep, 15 minutes prior to sleeping, do astaghfar. Seek repentance. Allah, I've made a mistake today, I've committed so many sins. At least in front of Allah, present yourself and present your circumstances that Allah, I'm definitely a sinner. I have something lacking in my life. But our nafs doesn't even allow us to admit to our failures. Our nafs, our desires don't even allow us to say, it says to us, no, you're not a sinner. How can you be a sinful person due to these small actions? There's another reason. It's just too hard to get up. So this is the action of the pious people, the walis of Allah. We can't wake up in the morning, the night. I'll give you the example of Sahaba Ikram, noble companions. That the gracious Prophet ﷺ, he didn't make this fard or wajib, but despite they knew how great an action this was. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, the Prophet ﷺ used to encourage them to pray salah. Pray, don't leave the prayer of the night. He used to give targheeb and remind them, great Sahaba, Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, what a great companion. Look at his darajat, his rank. Every companion had status and rank and darajat we cannot imagine. So he saw one dream. And he saw the dream that the angels, they had the rope from the heavens, they threw it down. And they said, via this rope, climb up, keep climbing. So Sahaba Ikram, this was their habit commonly, that they would ask the Prophet to interpret their dreams. So he said, I used to sit at the back and see, and he said that when I saw this, then they asked for the interpretation. He said, I felt like that I also see that dream, then I can also ask the Holy Prophet ﷺ the meaning of the dream. Look at their style of their love so that they can get closer to their sheikh, to their teacher. They used to look for excuses. Oh, let me go, this has come out, we need to ask about this, we need to, they had a reason, an excuse to go and meet. Why have you come? Oh, the Ya Rasulullah, I need to ask you this. They had another reason in between. The reason was they wanted to get closer physically, because ask the person who loves another person, ask the ashik, the lover, and the person who he loves, they have a ajeeb, unique relationship. And he looks for excuses, reasons. He says, oh, Hazrat, I'm committing sins. Hazrat, I thought I'd come to you and ask for advice. The reason in reality that he wanted to go get closer to his sheikh and get some coolness from his sheikh, from his teacher, and take some rahmas and some mercies, that I have got a valid reason to go closer to my sheikh. I can't go to him. So he used to sit in the corner and think, and this is all tasawwuf. This is all tasawwuf. This is the definition of tasawwuf. A person doesn't feel like a sheikh says, meet me, and he goes out from the back door. And he's hiding his face. Oh, Hazab's called me. I don't want him to realize. So tell me, then how will he progress, that person, that individual? Think yourself. That what a nafs and shaitan. He's in the trap of nafs and shaitan, that person. That the path we've been given, we're hiding from that. We're going far from that. So then he should regret. Are you insan, human being? You don't have the love for those actions through which Allah Ta'ala will give you his qurb. He'll give you his muhabbat. And I'm running away from that. And I don't have the love for that in my heart. I don't have the desire for that in my heart. Most definitely that I'm very sick, extremely ill person. No, nafs they won't allow you to think like this. The signs that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, you know. The ayat, these are the signs of Allah. Sha'arullah. The masjid are the signs of Allah. These are the signs of Allah. That if anyone walks past, oh, there's a masjid. When was this made? He doesn't even know it's a masjid that's been constructed. One man who sat in the masjid all the time. And look at the difference. Why? Because from this verse, from this sign of Allah, he has love and muhabbat. He has love for the deen of Allah. So all of these are sha'arullah, the signs of Allah. For example, Allah Ta'ala says, you will get nearer to me through these signs of mine. And so this is the meaning of love. So he said, this sahabi that used to sit the back and think that the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that I also want to see a dream so I can go and ask for the interpretation. But I didn't used to see dreams. He said, some people don't get dreams. They don't have dreams. He said, I didn't used to see dreams. I used to try a lot that I see a dream and I was sleeping, but the dream would not come to me. I'm talking about a companion, a great companion in Darajat. His status as Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he wasn't some minor companion. Great companion. And he said that I used to look for a time or a reason, excuse them. When I used to think and remind myself that you don't see dreams, people are enjoying that they see a dream and they go close to the Prophet and ask for the interpretation. When will your turn come? He said, that night when I went to sleep, then a dream came to me as well, subhanAllah. And the dream came this, that I've just explained to you, that the angels, they're throwing down the rope down from the heavens, and via that rope, he said, I'm climbing up. He said, subhanAllah, look at this now. He's an ashik, he's a lover of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He has the muhabbat, the love. But adab is greater than that. The manners, imagine this. Adab, manners, comportment is great. He said, my heart felt so much, but adab said, no, I don't want to disrespect. Better if I stay at the back. Subhanallah. So this is a rank, a status higher than love. Higher than love. That his heart feels, he's done dua, he's got the opportunity. But he's feeling a little bit hesitant. No, I don't want to go to the Prophet, say something wrong. These are unique relationships and connections to attain Allah's nearness. These are ibadat. These are the ibadat through which Allah Ta'ala comes close to the insan. So he said, oh, despite seeing the dream, he said, I couldn't dare that I could go and present myself to the Prophet and present my dream. So then I said to my sister, to Hafsa, Ummul Mu'mineen, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, as Hafsa, radiyallahu anha, he said, Hafsa, that I have the desire and I've seen the dream, but I don't have the courage. Please, you ask for the interpretation of my dream. Say subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So she was the mother of the believer. She said, don't worry, when I see the opportunity, then I will request to present your dream and see what the interpretation comes. Anyway, so while she was waiting, that maybe he was waiting, he thought, let me quickly find out the meaning of the dream. So Hazrat Hafsa radhiyallahu anha, he said, have you asked? And she said, yes, that I presented your dream. And he said, what was the meaning? And she said, the Holy Prophet, the Prophet of Allah said this, listen to this, that Abdullah bin Umar is a very good man. Say subhanallah. Yeah, he was a sahabi, and the Prophet knew his daraja, but he said, what did he say next? That he is a very good man, but only if he would pray the salah in the night. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. Imagine. Such a great companion that his darajat have been increased. His darajat, spiritual enlightenment, batani, and inner state being improved. We think it's about us. No, every individual has reached to Allah through this action. Every person, this path that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, by following this path, that person gets close to Allah through this work, hard work, effort, and love. Every companion, Sahaba Ikram, noble companions, I'm giving you an example, that this is the way the Prophet ﷺ gave the targheeb of tahajjud. And he said, when this hukum came to him, he knew this fact. But when he heard this, after that, he said, in my whole life, never did I leave the tahajjud salah. Yes? You know, big expeditions came and lots of incidents came. He said, but Abdullah bin Umar never left tahajjud. He said, how could I leave tahajjud? Such a great statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So brothers, this is the times and the actions Allah Ta'ala has given to us. These are great ni'mas and treasures. Tomorrow we'll cry, lament. Lament, Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adam, rahmatullah, great wali Allah, Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adam. We think that he just became a wali Allah, he do dhikr, recite Quran, talawah, this much salah. These were the points in the life. He said, I went to Baytul Maqdis, and this is Hazrat Sahab, my Sheikh, Hazrat Grami Qadr, rahmatullah, he told me this, us this. He said that Hazrat Ibrahim ibn Adam said, I went to Baytul Maqdis, and when I was there, it was a night time, and he understood this. Obviously, nafs, it deviates a person, and trays off, trays. Say, immediately I heard an announcement. And the call also is heard, people, my brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever he loves, then Allah calls out to those people as well. Allah, he stated that, immediately I heard an announcement. Oh, Ibrahim, Ibn Adam. Look, listen to one point. If you want that the fire of hell becomes cold and cool. Imagine this. If you desire that the fire of hell becomes cold and that you cross the bridge of Sirat, because don't leave the waking up during the night. Subhanallah. Don't leave the salah during the night. We look at ourselves. Look at ourselves. Here, I have seen such a situation that Ramadan, when it comes, they don't pray tahajjud. They have more attention towards food, that we don't want to miss suhoor. Sari, very few people pray tahajjud, wake up for tahajjud. Even at that time, they don't pray tahajjud. Yes, they immediately, let's eat suhoor. They wake up, despite the fact that they wake up, they prepare, and that person at least pray some nafil rakat. So that person loses that even during Ramadan. Imagine weird situation. Either the importance we don't realize, or we don't understand these points, or what's the situation, I don't know. Or our brain cells are not functioning properly. So it's such a necessary, essential thing for us. Will the money or dawlat or wealth help us for which we're raising these? Whether will the house or our wife or our children, will they? Or in Fazail Hajj, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah, he stated a fact that in the hereafter you will get assistance with these same actions. There was a pious elder, Wali Allah, great Wali Allah, I speak to you, I share to you his event. And he saw a dream, a beautiful hoor of Jannah he saw in his dream. Beautiful. Now the hoors, they have husn, the maidens, the wives and the women of Jannah, and the higher the daraja, the more beauty there will be. Yes, the person who's low in rank, he will not get the beauty. And the more he works hard and effort, then he'll have a more beautiful wife and more great mansions and houses. Not every man will be the same in the hereafter, is it? It's not the case. So there, whatever you get, you get. That's it. And the wealth that you've consumed, you've consumed. How many years of us have passed in this world for the dunya, jobs, employment, and spending time? But for this action, we haven't got time. We'll cry in the hereafter. We'll cry in the hereafter. Take time out for these actions. Take time out, make a schedule, nothing should be a restriction. Nothing in this world should prevent you from these actions. Today, if we don't take the time out, my brothers, then tomorrow there'll be such a massive regret that after that there'll be no chance. Ask a person who's died, who's dying, that what is he regretting in the grave? And he'll be envious. That look at the people in the world, look what they're praying tahajjud, where was I before in the world? Oh, they're doing dhikr of Allah, where was I before that? That why did I destroy my life in the children, wife, fighting, quarreling, fuzool, waste of time activities? In sickness and that, I used to try the more life, I want a longer life. And Allah used to give him health, I used to eat capsules, antibiotics and medicines. But even then he didn't utilize his life properly. And small, small sicknesses, he rejected and discarded big, big actions of ibadat. For what purpose, reason? Who is doing dhulm? We're doing dhulm on ourselves. We're oppressing ourselves and we're looking for excuses to make up for that. I can't do this action. Whatever you have, the path Allah's prescribed, that path is easy. The nafs makes it hard and heavy and weighty, makes it look like a big hurdle for us. Wallahi, ya subhanallah, that if Allah has given that recommendation, how can it be difficult to action? How can it be difficult, the path that Allah has prescribed us? Have courage, determination, pull ourselves together. That we are people who don't have courage, we're cowards. We're cowards. We don't have determination. We don't have courage. We can't pull ourselves together that we stand to do the actions. Yes, for those actions that are, for example, that we like and we want to run after, doesn't matter how much effort we'll put in. So many hours that even if the hajjud is so great, we'll say, no, no, we can't do this at the hajjud time. We'll do other things. Actions, compare the two. That the action, I said that there's no deed that can compare to the waking up in the night. There's no deed. If you sleep, for example, we say, no, no, sleeping is not as great as doing this amal. So how can we compare? The hadith and the Quran are prescribing, the pious predecessors are prescribing, the call of Allah is announcing this to us. There's another hadith that the night time, third portion of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He descends to the lowest heaven. For which purpose does Allah come? Yes, so much rahmah, mercy, that Allah Ta'ala is focusing on the world for us useless, bone idle people. Look, Allah has no need to come closer to His human beings. What to say? What? Why does Allah come? Why does Allah draw me for action? What will be that amal? That's why I stated there is no deed that is equivalent to the night prayer. The whole life, make the system schedule. What's the tariqah? How should I do it? How do I fulfill it? What are the timings? And it's a very simple formula. Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will give you the answer how to implement this action. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. Rabiul Awwal, this month came for this reason. Do you know what month this is we're in? Yes. Yes, so much barakah. There's no month without so much barakah. In the month in which the Prophet ﷺ came to the world, can you imagine the barakah in this month? That how can the hours equate? Those nights, how can they compare? And the honor in this month. That soon, for example, that time, the moment that the whole universe was waiting for, the coming of the Prophet ﷺ coming to the world. Can anyone imagine the barakah of this month? Can anyone imagine the barakah of those hours, those moments, those times? So in these moments, in this month of Rabiul Awwal, what is the greatness? How can we pay gratefulness to this month? Such a great ni'mah that the Quran is saying is such a great ni'mah I'm giving to you, Allah Ta'ala says. Yes, and what have we done? How have we fulfilled the right of this ni'mah? How we've wasted it? On what actions are we running after in the dunya? This Allah Ta'ala has given these months. Every single month Allah has given, every month Allah has given us unique pearl and gift. So in this month, what is there? That the daraja of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his rank, his status, the same rank is in this month compared to the other months. Imagine that. Yes, this month the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to the world, Imamul Anbiya, the head of the prophets, and how great human being, how great the creation that nobody can praise in one couplet, one verse, is no greater praise than this. Subhanallah, that there's no greater praise than this of the Prophet, that subhanallah, after Allah, you are the greatest. And that is the end of the story. The doors are shut. After Allah, the creator, if there's anyone, it's just you, O Prophet Muhammad, nobody else can quit. Can you praise? What naat will you recite to define this? How will you now praise the Prophet, that after Allah, after Khuda, after God, Allah, after our creator, Allah, then it's only the Prophet who's next after that. So imagine the barakat and the blessings and the virtues in this month of Rabiul Awwal. Can we imagine? And how we waste this month? How we bring great, how we grateful to this month? And the way to be grateful, ahayai sunnat is the way. Then this month of Rabiul Awwal, that the sunnahs that we reject or we discard, that we forget, we should revive those sunnahs. We should revive those sunnahs. And whoever's made niyyah in this month after today, I won't cut my beard. And the minimum length of the beard I will keep. Whoever's made this niyyah after today, I will not wear the libas, the attire that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like. In this month I will make a niyyah that I will not take off the burqa, says the sister. I won't take the niqab away from the face. I won't run after dunya. If this happens, I'll do this. No, no, no. Whatever challenges confront you, then in those times, in those moments, ask Allah. The month of Rabiul Awwal, this month is for the Ihya'i Sunnah, to revive the Sunnah, to make the Sunnahs alive on our wujud, on our body, in our physical lives. The Holy Prophet, every Sunnah promise in this month of Rabiul Awwal Insan, there's so many actions of the Prophet I've discarded and left, and I'm living the life of an animal, and then I want to get close to Allah. This is the nafs life. This is not my face. My beard is not the way it should be. My libas is not correct. Because what do I become sometimes? Like this, I come to the masjid, I change. When I leave the masjid, I become another form, another image. And when I meet somebody, my appearance resembles somebody else, and sometimes my appearance will resemble somebody else. If I go further away, then I look like something else. If I go to another house, then I look like something else. Our colors are so different, but our color should be one, which is the color of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why do we become cowards? Why are we cowards and living the life of cowards? Tell me, live as a mu'min, stay alive as a mu'min, and die as a mu'min, and present yourself as a mu'min to Allah. Say subhanallah. The rest of it, nafs says this, deception, this happens as well, that happens as well, this is the masala, this is not the case, this is not the case. The whole month Allah has given, just like the whole month of Ramadan, to wash you, to purify you. Allah Ta'ala has given us this whole month of Rabiul Awwal for a purpose. Not for celebrating, for reviving. For reviving yourself. Restarting yourself. How? In which way? Through the Sunnah Sharifa, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, revive your life. Prove it. That there's nothing in our life that should be in opposition to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That if can anyone receive a path of guidance without the guidance of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? As a Sheikh Sadi said this, if we make niyyah, then this is a guarantee. Allah's Nabi Sallam, that this was the month in which he was born, and this month that person kept the full length beard, or he adopted the imama, blessed turban, or the sister wore the burqa, or that person did this action this month, and this is you being grateful for the great month of Rabiul Awwal. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This is called Rabiul Awwal. Remembering Rabiul Awwal. Great moments in this month. So what was I saying to you? That the tariqah of life, method of lifestyle, ibadat, to attain Allah's nearness is just that. That person who follows the sunnah path. The sunnah methodology has been told to us that this way, if you follow this path, you will get near to Allah. So the Prophet ﷺ told us that wake up in the night, make it a habit in your life, regular. And he gave the recommendation, great companions, he gave that recommendation, strong recommendation, that learn to stay awake at night if you want to attain Allah's nearness. So Allah Ta'ala, look Allah. Allah Ta'ala himself, he comes to the lowest heaven for which purpose? To explain that this is such a great deed, action that we have forgotten. We've forgotten that the Prophet ﷺ prescribed to us. And how are we being reminded about this action? Directly, no. Rather, our weaknesses, Allah Ta'ala is speaking about them to remind us. Through our weaknesses, what are our weaknesses? Oh, I don't have wealth in my life, no rizq. Where will I get a job from? Well, should we will get food from? Somebody runs to America, someone leaves Pakistan, somebody leaves India, somebody leaves his house, family, mother, father. For what reason? Oh, I need to get food and bread and rizq. I need this to happen and that to happen. Day and night, he leaves his deen and his dunya, everything he leaves. This is the case, isn't it? Oh, we'll die hungry. Oh, this will happen, that will happen. I will have risk. And then distress, even then problems, even then difficulties in our lives. It continues. How do I get rid of these problems and difficulties? Oh, this worry has come. How do I eliminate it? And then the biggest regret, the mu'min, insan. What will happen to me in the hereafter? That our life is full of sins and my amal are full of raya and showing off pretense. What will I do? These are the three main points in our life. Remember this. Yes, the mu'min's three fantastic things. Where will I get rizq from? That you think about your rizq and wealth every day. That you are always spending your time and day immersed in this. And your life is just 2 days long. But we are worried 3 days long. Where will I eat from? So many difficulties and problems and hurdles in my life. How will I overcome them? This little bit of thought about the akhirah comes. Or how will I be forgiven? So Allah Ta'ala, every single day, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, say subhanallah. Subhanallah. That Allah's rahmah, mercy is coming to us. Every single day Allah Ta'ala says elected a time, special, select, an important time, Allah's special glance and attention and focus on the mu'min, on the individual. All day long, all night long, there's no such time that can equate to that. Himself Allah Ta'ala selected this time for His servants, for His creation. And Allah Ta'ala openly announces, in essence said in a hadith that the angel Qusa stated, Allah Himself announces, calls out. And the people who listen, they hear. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani Ramdullah said, those who clean their batin with the dhikr of Allah, with tazkiyah, then they hear Allah's announcement. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Aftani Ramdullah said, I used to wake up with Allah's call. Allahu Akbar. We wake up with the alarm. Said the alarm, I'll wake up at this time. And Allah give us tawfiq that if we wake up, even then we shut the alarm with a hand. What's the cure for this, I've told you? Without alarm, wake up. That if you do tawbah from your sins and sleep and promise to Allah, Allah, the sins are committed, I won't do tomorrow. You have no need for an alarm. Allah Himself will wake you up Himself. See how your eyes wake up. You will have no tiredness, no laziness. No other action will be heard in front of you. You will be fresh, refreshed. You'll wake up and do the ibadah to Allah. Fresh. Revitalized. You understand what I'm saying? So Allah Himself descends, comes closer to the lowest heaven, that me and make them understand, so I'll speak in their language. Allah says, is there anyone who wants forgiveness from me? Allah speaking in our language now, for the thing that we are desperate for. Is there anyone who wants forgiveness from me? Of course we want it. Why do we pray, Salah, Allah forgive us? Why do we keep fast, Allah forgive us? Why do we do Hajj, Allah forgive us? Why do you do Umrah? Ya Allah forgive us. Why do you recite Quran? Ya Allah forgive us. But these actions will not get us forgiveness. When will we get forgiveness? When Allah accepts those deeds and actions. Salah will not give us forgiveness. Quran will not give us forgiveness. No action directly will give us forgiveness until unless Allah's rahmah doesn't come. All of these will be stood on the side. They'll be hanging in the balance. If Allah accepts them, how? Allah accepts them on a condition. What a great condition. Allah says, when I accept, then these deeds will help you, otherwise they'll be thrown back in your face. Is this not the case? Is this going? Yes, accepted. So we're working hard on these actions. We know that there's no guarantee of the acceptance, but Allah Himself is saying, is there anyone who wants forgiveness from me? Allah says Himself, if you're there, ask and I'll forgive you now. That's this night time. Tell me, what thing is accepted then? Tell me now. Yes, only for which reason? That we have to wake up for a small amount of time. That's all you have to do. What is Allah saying? Is there anyone who needs forgiveness? And every day, every single day, if in my life is 60 years, then 60 years of nights, every night I can say to Allah, then what a great Jannah that individual will earn. Tell me. Then Allah says, is there anyone who seeks forgiveness from me? All day long we seek from Allah, desperate, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. Why don't we do this? That say, Allah, labbaik, Allah, I'm here. Hazrat Sahib Ramdar said that I was once with my father, my Sheikh, Hazrat Mulana Muhammad Hussain, said that Masha was Sheikh al-Hadith of Bhopal Dakkan, and Chishtiya Silsila was such a great wali Allah. The Hazrat Saharanpuri himself came to Dera Ghazi Khan, to my Hazrat Sahib's father's Khanka. Hazrat Khalil Ahmed Saharanpuri Sahib Ramdar, I'm talking about my Sheikh's father, Hazrat Saharanpuri himself used to come to meet my Hazrat Sahib's respected father, Hazrat Muhammad Hussain Sahib. So one of the great, great wali of Allah of the Chishti order that time, which era? In the 1900, before the 1900s, I'm talking about this, before the year 1900. Before the year 1900, that my Hazrat Sahib was born before that. Before the year 1900. I'm not talking about the walis of Allah of today. I don't know how Allah Ta'ala introduced me to my Sheikh. I am amazed myself. That in that era, he is a Sheikh who was born before my Hazrat Sahib. My Sheikh was born before the year 1900. And I met him, and through that, I attained Faiz. And you have attained his Faiz. And in his eyes, imagine what he saw. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib, Hazrat Rashid Gangohi Sahib, Hazrat Saharanpuri Sahib, Hazrat Yahya Sahib. All of these great pious elders, my Sheikh saw these great pious predecessors. And now you are taking the Faiz from that. Is there any closer misal? Is there anyone in this era today who's getting the fares, the blessings more than we are? I say so many times, oh Allah, I'm so grateful to you that show me a wali Allah whose sohbat I've sat in that you can get greater fares. And I say this to you, show me any sheikh. Show me that wali Allah who had those sohbats, those, that great company and connection, that you are now in his sohbat. MashaAllah, you're getting the blessings of this Sobha. Is there anyone today who can say, oh, I'm an Naqshbandi, I'm Naqshbandi. Everyone's Naqshbandi, why in the world? But Sobha, the physical connection is the greatest thing. Remember this. Sobha, so why did the Sahaba become the greatest on the earth? They had one thing. They didn't have great ibadat, Quran, Bukhari, nothing was at the time. They had one action, one connection. SubhanAllah, the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ, and it was their blessed vision. They saw the blessed face of the Prophet ﷺ. Nothing else was there. Nothing else. On one company, one moment of company, they went through all the ranks and the darajat. And this is the example of the company of the Shaykh. In one sitting of tawajjuh, when the Shaykh pays attention and casts a glance of mercy, then that student is successful. But only that person whose earth is vital, he's not munafiq, he's not hypocrite, he's not a liar, he's not a trickster. In his heart, he has the love for the Shaykh. Adab, manners, he wants to get close to Allah. And he immerses himself in his Shaykh's practice. And he says, I want to get close to Allah through my Shaykh's guidance. This is the difference. Then look at the effect of the Shaykh and the teacher, tawajjuh. Today, I was telling one of our colleagues in Masjid Darul Quran, I go sometimes to pray Salah. And I remembered Momin Sab, somebody gave me his book and I was looking at it. And mashallah, somebody met me, he was a Maulana, and he said some words he asked, and I was explaining to him when I was coming out. And then I remembered him. I said, today, this Maulana is speaking to me. And it was just a few days ago, just 2 days ago, he was close to me. And behind me, he used to look for me, Hazrat Mulana Momin, he used to go to this masjid, look for me, this masjid. And he was very busy himself, he used to have programs of speeches, talks, and he used to look for me. When I got out one day, and then he took my hand, he said, Hazrat, I've got you. I said, what's the problem? He said, from morning I've been looking for you for the sake of Allah, please give me sabak, lesson. And he's got kitab in his hand, he's got his diary, and I took him to the corner where I sat him down, and I gave him a sabak lesson. He's not in the dunya today. So this is the situation. Look at his darajat, his rank, his status. Such a big scholar himself he is. Yes, and people of the world run after him. Yes, but he understood who is a wali Allah. I'm not a wali Allah. And he considered me as that just to learn the lesson. The sabak used to run after me, looking for me, seeking me. Why? Because he had love and muhabbat. And he knew that from here I will get the love of Allah. I shouldn't waste my time. This is the love that Allah says, that if you want my love, then seek my love through those who love me, O Allah. I require your love, I desire your love. How, Allah? In that touch me to, introduce me to such a person in the world who loves you and give me his love. So this is the meaning. Have you ever asked Allah Ta'ala for this connection? We ask for big things, such a great list. If you ask in tahajjud, we wake up, then you don't ask for those things that Allah Ta'ala is saying to us. Ask me for those things. We don't ask for those things. Allah, it's so hard for me running my shop. I need money. I've got to pay my debts off. I want to buy some stock, Allah. Christmas time's coming and I'm not succeeding as a businessman. Allah, I can't get married. I can't find a partner. And then the tahajjud time finishes asking for those things. Allah says, maghfirah, forgiveness. Is there anyone who seeks forgiveness that I can forgive him? SubhanAllah. Is there anyone who seeks wealth, rizq, that I can give him rizq? Rizq doesn't come through shops, it comes from the heavens. Remember this point. If the money was to come through the shops, then we would pass away. I haven't got a shop for 20 years, I'm just like this at home, I would die hungry. I can't even pay the bills. Yes, because I know that rizq, I've run the shops, I've run the businesses, I've run the store, I've done everything. But the rizq comes from where? From the heavens. Rizq comes from the heavens. So leave the dunya and run towards Allah. And as long as you are alive, the promises Allah has made to you that the rizq will arrive to you. Even if it's a dry piece of bread chapati, it will fill your stomach. And your stomach will be filled that when you get that dry chapati, dry bread, you'll eat that bread and chapati in a way that like another person's eating the roasted chicken. More than that enjoyment you'll get if Allah Ta'ala has given that food to you. And when somebody gives you chicken, you say, I don't need that. Today the bread I've eaten, chapati, mashallah, with chutney. Oh, it's given me satisfaction. Such a sleep I got after that, that I got drowsy after that. So delicious it was. Yes, and he has a glass of big lassi glass, and ooh, I put the salt in there. Don't ask me, ooh, I had the snoring in the night after that. Ooh, so much snoring, deep sleep, slumber I had. There's dry bread, dry chapati. Another person, three roasted chickens and so much other food. Palau, zarda, sweet rice. But he doesn't get sleep in the night. I don't know what's happened to my stomach. Stomach upset. I don't sleep all night. I'm tossing and turning. Look at the difference. Why? The first person, he accepted the ruhani and the wealth and the food that Allah sent from the heavens, destined for him. And that person in dunya, he's struggling. Allah says, there's anyone who seeks rizq, then whoever asks Allah for rizq, he has no worry after that. Third thing that we are so much afraid of, oh God, this problem, this difficulty, that worry, children, problem, getting married, finding a partner, this and that. Problems and problems surrounding that person. Problems of children, problems of dunya. Allah says, is there anyone out there who wants to present his issues to me that I can resolve his issues and so that his problems can go far, so that his illness can go far, so that his hisab kitab becomes easy? Is there anyone out there with an honest heart? Put your hands up. These three things, ask me which time? At that time when I want you to ask me for these things, at that time. Not Fijr, not Fajr, not Isha. You can ask whatever you want at that time. But that time that Allah says that I want to give to you, ask from me. That is the time Allah says I love. At that time, what do we do? Oh, it's too hard to get up in the night to ask Allah. How will I go to work in the morning? Oh, it's too hard. How can I do that? Oh, I can't do that. It's too difficult. Impossible, we say. Whose fault is it then? Whose fault? How much fault of our nafs? So Allah's explaining, tahajjud time is the time. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. As I said, not dunya. Dunya won't give us a solution. Tahajjud will give success in the hereafter as well. Not just dunya, hereafter. The most beautiful hoor in Jannah. The most beautiful hoor and wife and woman of Jannah. So that pious elder was shown. Because there's a point here. That pious elder was shown that hoor. Why? Because that wali Allah had the maqam on that rank and status. That this is for you the maqam. This hoor that you will attain in hereafter. This palace you will attain. If I'm shown, that I'll be shown something different, lower, less. When you're shown, according to your capacity and status, you'll be shown palaces, mansions. I'll be shown a shack, a mud shack. You've got, mashallah, high daraja, high rank, high status. So it's not that I'll see the same dream that you will see. That if you want to see that dream, such dreams are reality. Then what you should do, you should also become like he was. Yes, you should try hard as well, make effort. So what did he see in the dream? A beautiful hoor. He saw beautiful, elegant. He saw that hoor, that woman of Jannah. He said, who's this for? It was stated, it's for you. She's for you. He said, me? It's for me. But there's a condition. He said, what? He said, that if you will pay my dowry, fulfill my dowry. But not just here do you pay the dowry, even there you have to fulfill the dowry of that bride. Say Subhanallah. That it won't be that you'll just get it for free. You'll have to give the dowry. What is the dowry? He said, the more beautiful is the hoor. He said that they, the hoors will ask you for the dowry they require. Somebody will say, give me mahar of zikrullah. He said, I didn't do zikr. Then they say, step back, go. Then go there and sit at the back. You're not going to get me. Go to that woman. Go to that lady. These are the mahar, the dowries of the women of Jannah. And he said, I used to sit until Ishraq, sunrise, do zikrullah. Come. I've got your mahar, your dowry. You can take me. Subhanallah. So don't waste time. You're not wasting time, brother. You are preparing for the hereafter. Here, we have to arrive there very soon, very quickly. Especially those people have white beards. Yeah, they're very soon they will arrive to the hereafter. They are very desperate. It's essential for them to do these actions. They shouldn't make excuses. Oh, I can't walk, my legs are hurting, my mouth's not walking. I'll tell you the tariqah, then the method. Those people who can't walk, their fuse is blown, they've desired to pray tahajjud, I'll tell you the tariqah, the methodology, how to do that as well. Not this, that, oh, I'm too old, it's too hard for me, it's too difficult. No. This is a solution. The walis of Allah take you to the extent that you pass away. So even here, when you're old and struggling, you can become a tahajjud guzar. You won't get out of the bed, you won't do wudu, you won't go to the prayer mat, you won't pray salah. But tahajjud daraja reward you will attain, for sure. You won't leave empty handed from this gathering, this majlis. You will leave as a tahajjudi. No one will leave. Everyone will depart this gathering, inshallah, as a person who adopts, observes tahajjud in a certain way. Listen, great solution I'm explaining to you today. There's no one who will lose out if we follow this guidance. Say Subhanallah. So he said, Meher, he said, I've got the dowry. She said, what? He said, the waking up during the night is my dowry. Bring tahajjud, fulfill the dowry, and I'm yours. He said, oh, I've got so much of this. How many mahars do you need? Tell me. And this is what I used to do all my life. He said, the hadith, I heard it of the Holy Prophet. And what was the hadith? Tabarani hadith. That every mu'min needs to wake up and pray tahajjud salah. The Prophet said this. Don't leave this salah. Every mu'min needs this, essential. But further than that is a more beautiful tariqah method in this same hadith. Tabrani hadith, I'll remember this and I'll share that with you. So, okay, let me take a shortcut because I've praised and defined tahajjud. There's so much definition of tahajjud, explanation, great statements of walis of Allah, but then we also have to do dhikr, then you'll get sleepy, you'll make excuses. Hasab, he kept us awake. How would we wake up for tahajjud? So today you all have to praise tahajjud, mashallah, all of you. So I'll cut short the discussion. You've got quite a lot of the discussion and the topic you've understood about tahajjud. It's enough, isn't it? Mashallah, you've understood. Okay, so now you'll ask, how do we pray tahajjud? Person like me who's lazy, and we don't have, some people are ill or sick or run down, some of the old, worn out, but everyone has to become a tahajjudi. So how do we become tahajjudi? So my brothers, that we hear now the definition of tahajjud in Sharia. Tahajjud is the night prayer. Also Qiyamul Layl is tahajjud. So Qiyamul Layl is also tahajjud, the night prayer. So when does the time of tahajjud start? So that we can pray tahajjud. The real time of tahajjud, it is the third portion of the night. That's the real focus time, attention time when Allah descends to the lowest heaven. The third portion of the night. The third phase of the night. So every one of us needs to get to that time. Say subhanallah. Yes, don't start from the bottom. I'm starting from the top. From the best times. Was it, mashallah, lots of people saying hafiz, qaris and alims and scholars here. And zakireen, mashallah. And people with great darajat and status, walis of Allah sitting. So I'd start from the top, then I'll come to the bottom. To me, people are likes of me, I'm weak, I can only do this much. So first I address the people on the high ranks, high status. So every man has a need that you should arrive to the last third of the night, and that is the real time of tahajjud. The time of impact, high impact. So go sleep and wake up in the third, last third of the night. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. That's the time of the night when the pious people says that split your night to three times. When they split the night into three portions here, the first say subhanallah, then the second say subhanallah, and the third say subhanallah. There are three portions, three shares. The first portion of the night, the first phase of the night, the first third. So if there are three thirds, then the middle portion, that's also the great portion of the night. That's all. So if we split the night to three portions, the middle portion, that is also a very great time for tahajjud. Why? Because there's a unique sunnah in that second third, that you wake up, you'll pray salah with focused attention. Not that you'll keep on looking in your bed and pray salah. Oh, shall I go back to bed? Shall I go back to bed? Quickly go back to bed. No, you don't need a salah like that. That with focused attention, you'll pray salah, tahajjud salah. There's no minimum amount. From 2 to 4, 8, 10 to 12 rakat, you can pray as much as you want. All night long you can pray. Say subhanallah. There's no prerequisite. Where does it start? 2 rakat salah, minimum. Tahajjud starts with 2 rakat salah. So then you pray the salah. And subhanallah, let's for example, don't for example do 2 or 8 or 12. Rather, a lot of the pious leaders have said that pray 8 rakat salah tahajjud. And keep that as a habit. Make that as a habit. The 8 rakats. And so second, third of the night is the great third of the night, because the person gets up and he prays tahajjud salah. Then I'll tell you the method of how to wake up tahajjud, how much thawab. Not today, in the next discussion. I'll explain how you should wake up and how you should move from the bed, what you should do, because this is a great moment in the life. So I'll tell you the adab, the manners of waking up for tahajjud. Where did I learn this? From my Hazrat Sahib. I saw him and I learned that Tirmidhi, Bukhari, etc. I didn't read these. I read the essence of all these great kitabs, amalan physically in my Shaykh's life. I saw Bukhari, Muwatta Imam Malik. I saw everything amalan physically in the face and the body and the style, the lifestyle methodology of my teacher. And in front of the Kaaba in Madinatul Manawwar and Makkah Sharif, I saw the practice. In his salah, I observed this, how he's praying, how his ashab praying. I knew none of his actions were against the sunnah of Rasulullah. Impossible. I had yaqeen and belief in my shaykh. I have no need go and look in Bukhari, Imam Malik, Muwatta Imam Malik and Tirmidhi. Why don't I just keep studying and observing my shaykh and reading him? So you should also have a shaykh like this. Tell me so I can also have him as my shaykh and I can copy. And you look as well and I'm looking as well. Say subhanallah. Okay, right. So what was I saying to you? The second third of the night, what's in that? The beauty of that is that person prays salah with ease and comfort, not in a rush. Then he goes back to the bed. And then he rests. But that sleep is not like this, that you got a hot water bottle and you got to sleep. No, it's just that I have to get up again for the great ibadat. So that for example, he puts his hand under his head and then he sleeps, as he knows. So his hand is there, it's stood on the right side. So Allah Ta'ala, He prepares Himself in a way that person, He knows the person who lies down, he lies down for this purpose, that the next salah that I've got, the ibadah until ishraq, the beautiful ibadah. So that's the sleep. It's not a deep sleep. It's a light sleep. So he makes that niyyah after praying tahajjud, that I have to pray tahajjud. After praying tahajjud, I sleep a little bit. Let me get a rest so that when I get up, because I have to do ibadah again until ishraq. So then Allah will keep you fresh and refreshed, inshallah. And you go to the bed and you'll wake up refreshed. You do wudu quickly, alhamdulillah. And you pray 2 rakah sunnah. After that, then you will fulfill another sunnah. That after the 2 rakah sunnah for fajr, you lie down again and put your head on top of your right arm, hand. This is the sunnah of the Prophet. You lie down on the prayer mat. There was a woman, I told her this, she was in Pakistan. And she started doing amal on this action. And the phone came, Hazrat, the next day I did this amal, I started to do ziyarah, seeing the Prophet in my dream. Allah's Nabi, some sunnahs are great, ajeeb, unique. Learn Rabiul Awwal, this great month we are in. Oh, servants of Allah, fantastic action. So this sunnah as well, you should practice if you can. Not just you go to sleep. No, he was the same way. Pray salah, according to the sunnah. And some people pray the 2 rakah sunnah for fajr at home. Then go to pray the salah for fajr. Just 2 minutes, 3 minutes. Lie down after the 2 rakah sunnah for fajr. Lie down, then get up straight ala tool. Ala tool to the masjid. Pray salah, fajr, pray shirak. And Allah, if He gives you the sohbat, the company of the shaykh, noor ala noor, dhikrullah. These are all, subhanallah, you are preparing. No, no, I can't get up, it's too hard, it's too difficult. Not like this. Be happy and fresh. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. Allah has made me do this as well, has made me recite this as well, has made me recite this as well. Don't even think about the shop and the store and business. You'll be alert at that time that after you pray ishraq, leave and have breakfast, oh, you have to go to the shop. Okay, right, let's go. Then your break will heart and hey, your heart's happy whilst doing ibadat. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This Ajis Ambal Sabah, never before 11 a.m. did he go to the shop all lifelong. In Christmas time, whatever season, I leave this yaar. Never did I run to the shop. It was Arndale Center, my shop. Allah Himself will prepare. I never went that early. I said my mamulat first, my practice, then Christmas comes after that. The sales. That whatever comes in my destiny, fine, I accept that. Say subhanallah. So anyway, let's continue. Okay, tahajjud complete. So the three thirds of the night. So the second third is greater. The second third is the greater. This is the high class tahajjud in that portion of the night. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now. Tahajjud, when does the time start? Actually starts straight after Isha Salah. Straight after Isha Salah. So what time is Isha Salah? Shall I tell you this one? As soon as you pray the fard of Isha, then the time for Isha is finished. And the time for tahajjud starts after the fard. Ulema, respected scholars have told us this, not me. Muftiyan, the muftis. As soon as you pray the fard of Isha, then the Isha is completed. So as soon as you pray the fard of Isha, the Isha time finishes and tahajjud time starts. So Allah's Nabi Sallam has stated in this hadith, every moment what he needs to do is that he stays awake in the night and he prays the salah of the night. Don't leave that salah. And then he said a statement, subhanallah, to make it easy for us. Isn't this in the hadith? He stated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that salah after salatul isha, whatever salah you pray, all of that is included in tahajjud. This is a hadith of Tabarani. So what does this mean? That tahajjud time, when you want to start, make a start, so you don't lose out. So in the beginning of starting this practice, that, for example, you should get all the rules in the second and third phase, but at least you become under the ban of tahajjud. As soon as you're free from tahajjud salah before witr, then pray some nawafil salah. And that, I'll tell you an easy formula in that. That after that, before witr, the nafil that you pray, even in that you can make the niyyah for tahajjud. Yes, is there any cheaper bargain than this, tell me? Now, any man, can he lose out from tahajjud, tell me? After Isha Salah, when we pray nafil, two nafil, two nafil, etc. And in those nawafil salah, make niyyah, Allah, what salah am I praying? This is tahajjud salah, I'm praying before tahajjud, before witr. And you'll get the complete reward for tahajjud if you pray 8 or 10 or 12 or 2 rakah. All of that will be included in tahajjud. This hadith proves this. So have you now become a person who prays tahajjud regularly? So after today, nobody's tahajjud will be missed, inshallah. But what do we do? That mashallah, you are elevated people. We say, oh, tahajjud, I'll just start from here. And I'll just keep praying here. I don't need to wake up in the night then. No. This should be progression. We are just doing this as an act of caution. As an act of caution, make the niyyah. But our motto, objective, our mission, our objective is that we need to get up in that last third of the night. We don't leave that. That last portion of the night. We'll do that because Allah is announcing that we need Allah's forgiveness. We need to earn rizq and we need to get our distresses and worries far away. So we pray after Isha, just in case shaitan influences me or my nafs overwhelms me, that I have at least done something. But don't make it a habit. Oh, I pray tahajjud, I pray after Isha. No, no, this will not move. This will not give us the success. Sonio, my dear colleagues, it's in the last part of the night. And how do we wake up? That's for next time, my brothers, my colleagues. Don't leave Salah of the night. And these words I'm making with you, it's Rabiul Awal, this great month. And whoever has revived this sunnah and accepted, embraced it in this month of Rabiul Awal, I will understand that this month of Rabiul Awal and this sunnah of Rasul Sam, I'll accept it. That I'll start tahajjud from today. I won't leave tahajjud. That inshallah, this Rabiul Awal month will testify, Allah forgive this person for my sake. He promised during this month that I will revive the sunnah of the Prophet. This is a great sunnah. Tahajjud, salah, regularity. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, these are those people whose their bodies didn't stay attached to their beds, their mattresses. Sahaba Akram, Allah is praising them that all night long they pray and do ibadat. And on their heads there's noor, their faces and their bodies are trembling during the ibadat of the night. So tell me, do we do more work than them during the day? That do we earn more than them during the day? They also, the noble companions, they had nothing. They had no cars, they had nothing, no transport, they had camels. They used to spend their life on animals, on camels. They used to spend their life, they used to eat and drink and work hard. But they never rejected the ibadah that Allah Ta'ala gave to them. Gave to them. Why? Why did they do this? What was the reason? Because they didn't have sins. They didn't focus on sins. Astaghfar was their life. Astaghfar was their life. And they didn't think, contemplate doing sins. No ibadah was hard for them. And nothing looked difficult for them to do. So may Allah Ta'ala give to all of us the tawfiq, ability that we never leave this salah. And don't waste your life. Don't waste the time in life. There's no greater deed than this, I'm telling you, to get you closer to Allah. No greater deed than this. All the amal we do, that the tahajjud salah in that night, I'm to give you an example and I conclude. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he passed away. And somebody asked him, the Hazrat, whilst he asked him, I'm ashamed of asking, but look at your mujahidat, his efforts, his hard work. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, he was Sayyid al-Taifa, not some minor wali of Allah. Sayyid al-Taifa, he's the head of the sheikhs from the walis of Allah. And he was asked, that how did you get success after passing away? And mashallah, he was a very beloved murid and he saw the dream of his sheikh and Allah Ta'ala wanted to show this knowledge to the people that, oh my sheikh, my teacher, how did you attain success? Was it with dhikr, recitation of Quran, your salahs, or hajj, or zakat? What action was it that gave you this maqam and status and success that you were forgiven and you passed the test after death? He said, this is the reality, to be honest with you, is that all the amal I took with me, Allah put all of them to one side. Allah didn't reject them, He put them to one side. And Allah said, Junaid, that you have come to me, if you want to know, then only one action I need. That just your tahajjud's two rakat salah, fulfill that and give that to me. Those two rakats gave me the forgiveness of Allah, and that's what gave me success, he said. So this is the night ibadah, my friends. So today if we start this ibadah, broken down may be, And then what's the benefit? That we will get forgiveness, we'll send luggage in front of us, even our father, our mother, or our parents have gone before us, our uncles, our brothers, our relatives. Allah knows best, all our beloveds and relatives who have departed this world already. So if you prayed the Hajjud, then your mother also will become Jannati. She also in the grave will give du'as for you. My son, you're praying the Hajjud, then you have given me success due to your work. Do you understand Punjabi? The tahajjud you're praying, that your tahajjud has given me success. You say, me? No, I've done nothing. It's my sheikh who gave me the advice and he made me tahajjud guzar, regular tahajjud. I didn't know what was tahajjud. Al-jazawla ihsan illa al-ilsan. Every favor you need to repay with the favor. Always. Always. Never forget those people who favored us and they taught us the name of Allah, they taught us Salah, they taught us Tariqah, the methodology of life. They gave us consciousness of the world, not for the world, for the hereafter. They made our travel to the hereafter easy. Not just to us, to our generations. They made our mothers and our parents forgiven, our children on the right path. My father passed away and he went to Allah. I speak about myself. I was extremely distressed. I was very upset that what's going to happen to my dad? My father's passed away. I'm going to the grave, sitting down doing dua. And the subhanAllah, his grave, my father's grave, after 50 years, he passed after my mother. 50 years after my father. And after 50 years, when they looked for the place, then he found that place in Karachi where my mother's grave was present. Imagine this. Imagine this. The whole graveyard, there was no space. And where we found space that after 50 years before where I buried my mother. That's where the grave was found for my father, and both graves were together. My father, he passed away. And I was upset and feeling down, distressed that Allah wouldn't be the hal of my respected father in the grave doing dua. Everyone, if your mother passes away, if your father passes away, you have love, you're upset, you're feeling down. How will they be in the grave? And Hazrat Sahib came from to Dera Ghazi Khan, say, SubhanAllah, these are the friends of Allah. So he came. And I wasn't there, my younger brother was there. And he said that your father's grave, where is it? So Hazrat Sahib came from Dera Ghazi Khan to Karachi, SubhanAllah. And my brother said, Hazrat Sahib, very far from me, 5-6 miles, extremely hot. And he said, I want to go there. He said, yeah, Hazrat Sahib. And he was surprised. The Hazrat Sahib, gee, please come. Yes, Hazrat Sahib went there and stood there. He said, take me there. And my father's grave and my mother got success as well. Due to that, because their graves were both together. Hazrat Sahib went there, he said, that just clean the dust away, clean the surface, and he put the straw mat down, and Hazrat Sahib went into Maraqba, next to the grave. And mashallah, he had vision and kashf, and that he had kashf al-kabur, he was aware of the circumstances of the grave. And mashallah, great wali of Allah, he was Maraqib. He said, for 30 minutes, Hazrat Sahib that was stayed in Maraqba, when he got up, and he wiped his hands on his face. He said, Faruqi Sahib, to my younger brother. He said, Mubarak, congratulations. Your mother and father have been forgiven. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So brothers, the friends of Allah, their favors are massive. Every favor repay with the favor. Not just to you do they give forgiveness, to the generations, offspring. They enable the success and forgiveness. So du'as are great things. The friends of Allah, they're so great. So do du'a that Allah Ta'ala introduces us to a wali Allah. We get his sohbat, get his company. We learn dhikr from him. We start to learn how to pray tahajjud. We have desire to pray shirak, sit in the dhikr of Allah and become human beings. So you want yourself becoming human beings, and all those who pass before you and those who will come after you, their life will begin to become successful as well. Recite Durood Sharif.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا سبحان الله صل على محمد النبي الازواج محمد وزوجاته لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين لا اله الا انت سبحانك لا حول ولا قوه اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا حزننا وجدنا خطرنا وذلنا كل سطر اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما اخرت وما اسرفت وعلمت وما صرفت وانت اعلم انت المقدم وانت المؤخر ولا اله الا انت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا واخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اسرا وانت نسينا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا توقف واغفر لنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا من سنة Rabbana innana amanna faghfir lana dhunubana waghfir lana sayyi'atina warhamna ma lam tarhamna. Rabbana atina ma wa'adtana 'ala rusulika wa la tukhzina yawma al-qiyamah. Ya qadi al-hajati iqdi hajatina. Ya nafi'a al-baliyati sawiyatina. Ya shafi'a al-awlad ishfi marazina. Ya shafi'a al-awlad ishfi marazina. Ya shafi'a al-awlad ishfi marazina. Ya Allah jin khawatin al-madun. اپنے بیماریوں کی دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے, اپنے بچوں کے لیے, اپنے لیے میرے مولا, ان سب کے حق میں دعاؤں کو قبول کر, ان کی بیماریوں کو دور فرما. ایک خاتون نے جو اپنی سیریس بیماری ہے اس کے لیے آپ دعا کہا ہے کہ اللہ تعالیٰ اس کی اس بیماری سے نجات عطا فرمائے, اس کا آپریشن آسان فرمائے اور اس کا فیصلہ درست فرمائے, اور جتنے بھی بیماری میں تنگ کشی پائے گا میں آجن سے فرمائے, جو ہسپتالوں میں نتنگ کشی پر سے فرمائے, جو گھروں میں بیمار ہیں مطلب خوش مناسب سے, جن کے بچے بیمار ہیں ان کو بھی صحت فرمائے, جن کے والدین بیمار ہیں مطلب ان کو بھی شفا نصیب فرمائے. یا اللہ تو ساری امت پہ رحم فرما, یا اللہ خصوصاً پاکستان پہ رحم فرما, یا اللہ ہمارے جھگڑوں سے, مصیبتوں سے, پریشانیوں کے سراب کی مصیبت سے, ناگہانی مصیبتوں سے میرے مولا تو اپنا فضل و رحم فرما میرے مولا, تمام عالم السلام پہ تو رحم فرما میرے مولا, تمام مومن تمامات کی بخشش فرما. یا رحیم تمہاری آج کی اس مجلس کو قبول فرما, ہم سب کی بخشش فرما. یا اللہ ہم سب کو نیک کر دے, یا اللہ ہم سب کو اصلاح کر دے, یا اللہ ہم سب کی باطنی اصلاح فرما, یا اللہ ہمیں ذکر و شکر کی توفیق نصیب فرما, یا اللہ ہمارے راستے ہم پہ احسان فرما. یا اللہ جن راستوں کو ہم نے اختیار کیا ہے تیری محبت, تیرے قرب, تیرے عرفان کے راستے میرے مولا, یہ راستے ہم پہ سہل فرما دے اور آسان فرما دے. ربنا حبل اللہ من ازواجنا وذریاتنا قرۃ اعین واجعلنا للمتقین اماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. الاحياء منهم والاموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.